habitation hovering. I saw an interview with somebody the other day who claimed to be a believer, and they had just come through something. Their life was spared, and that person said, they said that an angel of the Lord spared them. And oh, the media, the new media laughed, they scoffed, they mocked him, like, what an old-fashioned, ridiculous thing. It's true. It's true. Your angel, behold your heavenly Father right now. Luke chapter 6. Titled, the subject here is Christ who came down. Now do you know why we read Exodus 3? That whole story is a picture of Christ. And Moses represents Christ. The burning bush represents Christ. Pharaoh, the god of this world, represents Satan, that Moses came to deliver his people from. That's who Christ came to deliver people from, isn't it? Came down. Christ came down. Luke chapter 6, verse 17, says he came down with them. The Lord Jesus Christ came down with them and stood in the plain, the company of his disciples, the great multitude. He came down, stood with them right there. I remember looking at this years ago with you, and it when I first saw it, it just thrilled my soul. It's still thrilling me. He came down and stood with them. Good night. The company of his companion, of his people. Everything goes together. Look how we stopped in verse 12. It says, it came to pass in those days he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he came. He called his disciples. Now, isn't that exactly what we read that Moses did? Isn't it? You with me? Isn't that exactly what Moses did? He said, he saw a bush that was burning. He went up into the mountain. He did what? Commune with God. And God gave him all these instructions. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to deliver my people. I've heard their cry, and I've come down to deliver them out, to bring them up. And you're going to go, and you're going to do it. And our Lord continued all night in prayer to his Father, communing with him. What's he communing to the Father about? The work that he sent him to do. The people that he sent him to save. And everything that they had covenanted concerning. Before the world began, you see, before Christ came and called these disciples here, before he came, went to Calvary, before that, he was with the Father in the beginning, communing with him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit communed together. They covenanted. They made a covenant together. They purposed something together. It's called the eternal purpose and covenant of God, in which they agreed or came together and agreed to create a world, mankind, and everything in it, that man would fall. It didn't catch God by surprise. That was in his purpose. And they covenanted, they agreed to save some of this fallen race. How? That the Son of God was going to come down. The Son of God would come down in the fullness of time, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The Son of God was going to come down to these fallen creatures of his who are under the bondage of this world and the God of this world, just like the children of Israel in Egypt. And the Son of God, did you notice how he said, when you do this? And Isaiah wrote of Christ that was going to come, he said, he shall not fail. My servant, he's going to accomplish this work like Moses. The Lord told Moses, you're going to do this. I'm going to do it through you. Not going to be by man's hand. It's going to be by my hand. All right? So, in this covenant before the world began, God purposed creation of all things, the fall of man, and the salvation of man. Some. Not all. But many. It's a miracle He saved in Him. Why does He save anybody? To the praise, the glory of His grace, of His mercy. He should have destroyed Adam and Eve right there like He did some of the angels, but He didn't. Why? Because God is love. Because God is mercy. Because God is grace. Because God made this covenant. And everybody is going to see His greatest glory. And His greatest glory is this: mercy. Love to the unlovely. And this is by the Son of God coming to earth. And He's going to glorify God as a man. He's going to establish righteousness. He's going to keep God's law. And then He's going to pay the penalty of that law, broken law. He's going to be made sin for them. He's going to redeem His people from under the curse of the law by being made a curse for them. He's going to put away their sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Brethren, I'm preaching the gospel right now. The good news. Christ did it all. According to the eternal purpose of God before the world began. He said, go, you're going to bring them out of the bondage of corruption, out of the pit. And Christ did. He came. You're going to save my people from their sin by yourself. You're going to bring them out. And here's what Christ said when He came. So Christ came. Here's what He said. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save. Not seek and try to save, but to seek and to save that which was lost. If they're lost, somebody has to find them. They can't find themselves if they're lost. And our Lord told that story of a shepherd, you know, if he's lost one, does he not leave the 99 and go after that one that is lost until he find it? If he's a good shepherd, he does. And then our Lord said, and when he finds it, he's not going to lose one of them. That's what He said in His prayer. Don't you love this? If you love His glory, you do. Christ said in His prayer to the Father, all that Thou hast given me, I've kept. None is lost. But one, according to His purpose. Christ said this when He came. He said, I am come that they might have life. They're dead. I am come that they might have life. Not offer life, but give life. Christ said this, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, our Lord, as we read there in verse 12, He prayed all night to the Father, praying, communing with the Father of this work that He was sent to do, of the people. He didn't pray for the world. He prayed for the people that God had given Him. And now He's going to go out and He's going to call them. Look at verse 13. You with me? This is glorious. And when it was day, when the sun came up, it was darkness. Like Genesis, remember? Darkness covered the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. All right? These disciples, every one of them are in darkness, even as others. Say it loud. But God came to call them out of darkness into His marvelous light. Every one of them. Us included. Listen to this. Right before the Gospel of Matthew, the very first Gospel, the Lord was silent for 400 years. And right before that, in Malachi 4, it said, behold, the day cometh. The day cometh. That shall burn as an oven. All the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up. The previous chapter says, He shall be. He is the day spring from on high. He is the sun. He shall be like a refiner's fire. It says, the day shall come up and burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither leave root or branch. And the next verse says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise, with healing in his ways. So he prayed all night. Darkness. And then when the sun came up, he did too. And he started calling. Well, I don't know about you, but that just sends chills up my spine. Oh my. Every word, every phrase is significant. Unto him give all the prophets witness. Malachi, before Christ came, said, the Son of Righteousness is coming. And brethren, when he came, the sun shone upon this earth. Light. Here is condemnation that light is coming into the world, but men love darkness. All right, verse 13 in our text. Here he came. It was day. The sun arose. And he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. He called. He came. He came. He called. They came. He came. He had chosen. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. The foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. God knoweth them that are his. All that the Father giveth me, Christ said, shall come unto me. Mark's gospel, this is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark's gospel said he went up into a high mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came. He called whom he would. He didn't ask, he didn't invite. Whoever wants to, he called unto them him, unto him whom he would, and they came. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? He called unto him whom he would by virtue of his power. He said, my sheep, hear my voice. His power is his voice. Read Psalm 29 sometime. His power is his voice. His gospel is his voice. He called us by his gospel, but it's his voice. When the time comes, if you belong to him, chosen of God, if given to Christ in that covenant, Christ is going to come through the preaching of the gospel, through a man, and he's going to call you, and you're going to come. See, contrary to what people think, they say, if that's true, why preach? That's why we preach, because that's the power of God. That's exactly the... If I believe what they believe, I wouldn't preach at all. God loves everybody, you know. No, he calls by the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And this is how he called. The gospel called by virtue of his power, Christ, his voice, Christ called every one of these apostles, and they came, and disciples. You notice... Verse 13, said he called his disciples, and of them he chose 12. So there were more than just the 12 he's talking about. I'm a disciple. I thought about this yesterday when I was studying this. I thought, you know, I'm a disciple. I really am. What's a disciple? It's somebody who's heard of Christ, who believes Christ, who loves his doctrine, who loves him, and follows him. Wants to learn from him, wants to be like him, a disciple. Sister Helen, that's me. Is that you? We're disciples. How do we get to be disciples? He called you. He calls all his disciples. That gives me comfort. I believe I've heard his call. And verse 12, he says he made some of them apostles. They weren't more special to the Lord than any other disciple. They weren't loved more of the Lord than any other disciple. Were they? No. They were just called apostles. Some he called apostles. Evangelist, pastor, teacher, but they're all disciples. This gospel call, I had, wow, 2 dozen or more scriptures to turn with you. We'll turn to this, okay? We'll turn to this one, because, brethren, this is His glory. It really is His glory that whom He calls. Every one of these disciples, if you'd asked them how they've got to be disciples, they'd say, He called me. See, that's His glory, isn't it? I'm not trying to defend the doctrine of election or sovereign call. It's His glory. Anybody that denies this is denying Him His glory. 1 Corinthians 1. Let's just turn there, okay? I was going to have you turn to Romans 1, Romans 8, Romans 9. While you're turning, I'll read Romans 9 to, or Romans 8 to you. How about that, okay? And you know this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are what? The called. Called according to what? His purpose. What purpose? Given us in Christ before the world began. The purpose God made. His covenant purpose. Electing grace. That's His glory. If He didn't do that, nobody would come. For whom He did foreknow, whom He loved, whom He chose. He did predestinate everything about them. The hairs of their head are numbered. Brethren, I know you've heard this before, but this is your comfort. Whom He did foreknow, He predestinated everything about them. Everything, every single thing works together for their good. Down to the hairs of their head. I don't understand. It's because He's God. Our God is God. He does everything on purpose, and everything about us is on purpose and for our good. That's what God used to save my dad. One word. Purpose. But I never get tired of telling that. I never get tired of hearing it. When I look around me, I see chaos, I see confusion, I see sin, I see evil, I see corruption, I see all this stuff, and I'm worried. You're lying if you say you're not worried. But what that worry is, unbelief. Because God has purposed all things. Why do we shout? Maybe somebody will hear it. That everything is working together according to His will, His purpose, ordered in all things. And what?
Sure.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God's God? Why would anybody go and hear about a God who's a bystander? Don't need a God like that. I need a God who is God. Everything about me, everything about this world, everything is in His hands. According to His will, not man. His will. Where am I? Oh, 1 Corinthians 1. Look at this. Talking about the call of God. The effectual call, the redeeming call, the powerful call, the sovereign call, the eternal call, saving call. It begins this way. Paul, called. Paul can't preach two words without saying called. Didn't he? Saul of Tarsus, free will preacher. Saul of Tarsus, free will, Arminian, legalistic. Here's what I'm going to do with this Jesus. Oh, are you now? You better be glad, Paul, that God chose you. Oh, He was. And boy, He preached it everywhere. He wrote about it over and over again. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His purpose, that He chose us. Our Lord came to him. He didn't come to the Lord. He hated him. The Lord came to him, Saul. Just like He did Adam. Simon. Called him. He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. 1 Corinthians 1. Paul called to be an apostle. He wouldn't be if God hadn't called him, if Christ hadn't called him. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. It's not written to everybody. False preachers all over the land are standing up today and saying this applies to everybody. It doesn't. It's to the church. All right, look at it. To the sanctified in Christ, set apart, called to be saints. With all that in every place called. Do you notice the order there? They're called to be saints and then they call. Right? Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all these so-called soul winners quote that, don't they? Whosoever shall call. Where did that come from? Where did that verse come from? Peter quoted it in Acts 2 when he was preaching, didn't he? Peter quoted it. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Joel 2:32. Says this. I don't want to misquote it. I can, but I might misquote it. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, if I can find it. Listen. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, that's church, is it? And in Jerusalem, that's the church, shall be deliverance, the gospel of deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. That's who calls. Do you see your calling? Are you called? If you can say, there was a day when the preacher preached and gave his invitation, and you know, I just feel this felt this pull, and I came down front and I was weeping and I felt so bad about the sin, and he told me if I just accept Jesus as my personal Savior, and I did, I accepted him. He said, let Jesus into your heart. And I did, I felt this peace go over me. You're not saved. No. No. That's not the call of God. You hadn't been called. You made some decision. And the preacher got glory for that. And you take some credit for it. No, you haven't been called. Here's the call. Simon Peter's in a boat. He's got his head down. He's looking at nets and fish. And all of a sudden, Simon! Who's that? Come! Did Christ say, Simon, I've come here to save sinners, and would you please? I want to save you. God loves you, Simon. And he sent me to tell you I'm offering you salvation if you'll just accept me. I want to be Lord. I want to be your Lord, but I can't be your Lord, Simon, unless you let me. Is that what he did? Simon, come! What happened? He came! To the praise of the glory of that great effectual call. Come! When our Lord stood up that day and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Was that an invitation? No, it was a divine command. Somebody came. Who was it? Those he chose. They came. Do we need to say this? Louder now than ever before. Than ever before. Why? God's glory. Who's getting the glory? Whose decision is it? Whose will is it? Whose acceptance is it? Whose work is it? This is a line drawn in the sand. Now more than ever. Look at verse in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. You see your calling, brethren. Now that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Listen to me. Are there any doctors in this room? Go ahead, raise your hand if you are. It might be one. Maybe you're afraid to admit it. But there's not. Lawyers, famous people. Anybody? Mayor? Governor? Secretary of Housing and Development? Anybody? Worth anything? Well, if you go down the street here, this building's full of people like that. Full of them. That's where they go. The rich and famous. Why? Because a man stands up and tells them how much God needs him. And how glad God is for them to be there. Not this preacher. Not God. Not God's prophet. Not God's preacher. None of them. You see your calling, brethren? Not many wise men at the place. Not many mighty. Not... Look at it. Verse 27. But God. You see, a true preacher can't preach without saying, but God. But God hath chosen. 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 Is that necessary to preach the gospel? There ain't no gospel without it. That's where it started. God hath chosen. A doctrine, this is God's glory. Christ came. He shouldn't have come. He didn't have to come. But he did. Why didn't he come? Because God chose people. And he shall save his people from their sin. And he's going to get all the glory for them. And he came. All right, look at our text in Luke 6. Look at it. When it was day, he came and he called his apostles. And brethren, as I said, the apostles, they were chosen to preach and teach and heal, but they were just men. They were sinners like us, okay? Thank God for them. Romans 10 says, how shall they call on him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful, according as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings. Oh, I'm so thankful God called the apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers, called me through a pastor. He doesn't get the glory for that. He doesn't get the glory for that. That's just the means that God has used. That's what God says. Anybody that denies that, and anybody that doesn't like that, has never been called. Those who have, thank God for the preacher. But he doesn't get the glory for it. Ask Paul. He'll say, who is Paul? Paul didn't die for you. He said that. Don't talk about me. I'm thankful he did, aren't you? Called some. Simon. And they were sinners all. All of them. Now look down at verse 16. He called Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which was also the traitor. Judas Iscariot was a traitor. Now this is important. Our Lord chose him to be the betrayer of him. Now that's the truth. Look at John 17. John 17. That's the truth. And this truth ought to cause us not only to fear, but give us great comfort. Judas, and this is what those that are, Peter said, are unlearned and unstable, do rest to their own destruction. They make it sound like God predestinated these to hell and these to heaven, and that nobody can go to heaven even if they wanted to, if they're not God's elect. This is what men say. They say that to us. They argue that with us, that if you believe, and they argued with Paul in Romans 9, didn't it? They said, with all things, if he saves whom he will, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Then if everything's according to God's will, and we can't resist his will, then how can he find fault? How can he charge us? How can God charge us with what is his will? That's what they argued. You know, that's what they argued then, and they're arguing the same thing now. How did Paul answer that? Do you remember? You know what he said?
Who art thou to reply against God? Can the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Is that what he said? He didn't explain it away. He didn't apologize for it. He said, this is the way it is. This is God.
Yeah. All right, look at John 17 and verse 11. Our Lord said, I am no more in this world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. It's absolutely according to the purpose and will of God before Judas was ever born. The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. That's unfair. No, it's God. Not that unfair. Okay, here's the thing. Did Esau deserve to be loved by God? He heard about the birthright. He heard about the God of Abraham and Isaac. He heard about salvation of God's people. He heard about the worship of God. He heard these things. And Esau said, I'd rather have a bowl of beans than worship God. I'd rather do anything than worship God. His God was his belly. Judas did exactly what he wanted to do. He did exactly what his evil will wanted to do. His love, his heart was for money. He wanted money. And our Lord tolerated him for 3 years. Our Lord kept him from it for 3 years. And then when the time came, all the Lord had to do was just leave him alone. And he would do what his evil will and his evil heart did. God doesn't have to predestinate people to hell. They're going there anyway. They're born that way. They're born rebels against God. All he has to do is leave them alone. How does he harden people's heart? Leave them alone. How does he soften heart? Lays hold of them. Works them. Breaks that heart. How does he harden heart? Leave them alone. He said to the Pharisees, leave them alone. They're not mine. They're not mine. Judas did what he wanted to do.
But he did what God determined before to be done.
I don't understand. Yes, you do. Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. This is what Peter preached at Pentecost. He said, you with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory, but you did what God determined before to be done. And he said it again, chapter 4. So Herod and Pontius Pilate and all the people were gathered together against the Christ, against God's anointed, for to do. Let me quote. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And why are you saying this, preacher? Because it's true. And that we might fear. Lord, don't leave me alone. Don't leave my son or daughter alone. Oh, I hope, I pray they're one of thine own. They're elect. They're one of your elect, one of your chosen. Oh, Lord, call them by your gospel, by this gospel. They're not going to hear it in another gospel. Call them by this gospel. And if they hear it, I know they belong to you. And then I know, and then I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied. I'll be comforted. And Lord, all this evil that's going on around here, I don't understand how it can work your purpose. But I do know this. For my comfort, I know this. I believe it. It's all working your purpose. Listen to Isaiah 45. Go there with me. Isaiah 45. This is for our comfort. Isaiah 45. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You have it? Isaiah 45. 5. I have it. I'm going to start reading it. I am the Lord. There is none else, meaning nobody's in charge of anything except what He designated. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast known me. that they might know from the rising of the sun from the west, there's none beside me. I am the Lord. There is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Is that what it said? That's the God of the Bible. I could go on and talk about that, but I'm not going to. Just leave it at that, okay? Do I need to comment on God's Word? No, I don't. I'm going to read it. That's what it said. As I said, this should cause us to fear. Fear who? God, not man. And give us great comfort. If I know this God, if He knows me, if He's called me by His grace, if I believe this truth, I mean, I don't just believe it. I don't just believe that. I love it. Don't you? I don't reluctantly say, well, I guess it says that. I believe God is sovereign. Brethren, it's those that receive the love of the truth. See, God's people love the fact that God's God. Thou art our God beside us. We give thanks, O Lord, that Thou hast taken unto me Thy power and You reign. Oh, how thankful we are that You've made us to know that You reign. And we are in Your hands. Oh, my, that gives me comfort. That gives me hope, doesn't it, you? There is no hope in a God who's not God. In a gospel that doesn't save. And see, religion doesn't believe that, so they've got all these gimmicks and tricks and business tactics and got to do all this, get people in, and it's evil. It's saying God doesn't have the power to call people. It's saying God who caused the light, God who said, shine, it shined. But now, no, God can't. He's people in darkness, He can't call them. We got to call them. We got to bribe them. We got to put dollar bills under the pew. My dad said they did that, didn't they, Mom? Put dollar bills under the pew. Who wouldn't come? That's evil. God's Word is His gospel. The man stands up and says, all the man is to do two things. Isaiah, he said, what shall I cry? Two things. All flesh is grass. And behold your God. And sit down. And you watch me go. Because I'm God. And He does, doesn't He? He called you, didn't He? He called me too. How? Just like that. Just like that. Nobody begged me. Nobody pleaded me. Nobody, you know, had to coerce me. Nobody had to bribe me. God just said, come. You see, He came. Down. This is the Creator of glory who came. This is the Son of God who came. All power is given unto Him in heaven and earth, Christ said. All authority is given unto me. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You've given Him. He came down from heaven with a purpose from God to save God's people. That's who this is, not a Jesus who tries and fails. This is a Son of God who put on righteousness as a breastplate. Put a sword in His hand and said, I'm come to defeat the armies of hell and bring in the armies of heaven and bring My people in. I'm come. And He did. Got a captain. A glorious conqueror. He came. That's the God of the Bible. That's the Jesus Christ Scripture. Anything less is not the gospel. Somebody said y'all preach that radio message every Sunday. I do. We do. No, there is no other gospel. It's where it all starts, and this is where it all ends with God. What does man have to do? Nothing. If there's anything left up to us, we're all goners. Look at the world. That's what man thinks. Everything's left up to man, his will. Well, look at it. Huh? Look at it. Everybody on the earth is afraid it's going to blow up any minute now. Why? Because they believe man's in charge. Well, let me close with this. I wanted to give this. Got a few more minutes. Look at Luke 6. This is wonderful. He came down, verse 17, with them. Oh, the children, because of his love for them. Oh, my. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him, that the power of death, that is devil, and to deliver them who through fear of death for all their lifetime subject to bondage. He didn't take on the nature of angel, but the seed of Abraham. Oh, he came down, condescended. He came down where we are and stood in the plain. I love that. Stood in the plain. This is no play on words, people. This is just the way it is. He stood in the plain. A plain man. The world didn't recognize him. Why? Because he looked just like a man. They said, this is Jesus. We know him. This is a carpenter's son. We've seen him for 30 years. We know who this is. Just a man. No, that's because he had a plain wrapper. He had a plain brown wrapper. He had a veil over him. It's called flesh. One day he took three of his chosen disciples up on a mountain to see who he is. To see him as he is, not what is. God who dwelleth in light, which no man can approach unto. And he showed Peter, James, and John, not Emmaus, his chosen disciple. He peeled back his robe of flesh, and they couldn't look at him. And they fell on their face, all of them. Fear, fear. Who is this? Jesus? This is God. This is our God who's a consuming fire. This is our God who dwelleth in light. We can't even look on it for the glory of His image, of His visage. We couldn't look on it. But then He came and touched them. And He peeled back, He put back that wrapper, that veil. He put it back so they could behold Him. And He touched them. He said, fear not. Men don't know me, but you do. You do. I do. I've seen a little bit of that. He came down. You see, this is God manifested in the flesh. And stood in the plain. A plain man. But this is also true. Stood in the plain. Do you remember the story in Genesis 19? Where God came down and said, I hear the cry of Sodom is great. He said, it's come up before me in my ears. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Matt. Same God. He said, the cry of their sin is exceedingly evil in my ear. I'm hearing what they're saying to me. I hear what they're saying about me. I see what they're doing. Brethren, his eyes behold, his eyelids try. And the Lord Jesus Christ came down into Sodom. He came down into the plain. It's called the city of the plains. And he came down to Sodom. And he said, he's a righteous God. He's a holy God. He said, if I find five righteous, I won't destroy them. Just five. City of maybe 5 million. If I find five righteous, you know what? There was none righteous. No, not one. But God. There was one man in there. And by looking at him and listening to him, you wouldn't know he's righteous. Because he lingered. He wanted to stay there. His wife did, and God destroyed him. Alright? But God. But the Lord, being merciful, the scripture said, being merciful to him. While Lot lingered, it says God, it says the Lord Jesus Christ laid hold of him. And his daughters, Melanie, his daughters too, you're coming with him. Oh, isn't that what we say? Lord, don't leave me to myself. Lay hold of me. Isn't that it? If he doesn't lay hold of us. And if he lets go of us, we're gone. Lord, lay hold of me. My daughters, bring us out. That's why I came. I've come down to lay hold of them. They're inside of them. And he did. He does. He still does. Come out. I am come down to deliver them out. You know, at first, they don't want out. They don't want out. But God begins to work on them to show them.
You do want out. If I don't deliver you out, if I don't take this out of you and you out of it, you're going to perish with everybody else. So he begins this work in them where they see this work of corruption in themselves. Lord, get this out. And then they look around and say, all is dark and vain and wild. Lord, take me out. Christ said, I come. Down. Stooping down to a guilty sinner to deliver them out. To bring them up. Stood in the plane. Oh, out there, he stood in the plane. We didn't even scratch the surface. He stood in the plane. Who with? The company of his disciples. He stood there with them. He came down with them where they were, and he stood in their company. Who's the company that the Lord keeps? Who's he keep? You read it in 1 Corinthians 1. You see your calling? They weren't any wise. They weren't any mighty. They weren't any noble. They're just a bunch of no good fishermen. Ask Matthew. He'll tell you, I was a publican. I was sitting at the received custom. I was sitting there counting my money. And then he came. Called me by his grace. Now here I am. Yeah. Salvation is of the Lord. Sure is. And all of them that came to him to hear him were healed of their diseases. They were people that were vexed with unclean spirits. That's me. That's you? I'm vexed. Lot was vexed, but I am too. Your daughter is. She may not know it. She is. That's who the Lord came from. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. Whoever came to him this day, they sought to touch him. Why? Virtue goes out of him. It's only from him. He's the only one there with virtue, with power. Say, only one. That's the best I can do with that. Okay. Let's sing number 152.